Here's some words Abraham Lincoln wrote in 1863 when he had the idea of a national day of Thanksgiving. It was carried on with a number of presidents after that. The time was changed to the fourth Thursday in November, although he said it for the last Thursday. But just hear the heart of a man who knew that the nation needed to give thanks to God, even though things were real bad. This is in and around the Civil War time. He said, "No human counsel has devised or any mortal hand has worked out these great things. They are gracious gifts from God Most High, who, while dealing with us in anger and for our sin, nevertheless has shown us his mercy. We should acknowledge this with one heart and voice and set apart the last Thursday in November as a day of thanksgiving to the praise of our Father, and offering thanks due to him for our deliverance and blessing, but also with humble repenting, pray for the nation to turn from perverseness and disobedience, asking the Almighty to heal the wounds of our nation." And just the combination there of humility and praise that he thought would be real healthy to turn to God with. And that's a great model for Christians at all times. We say we need God very much, and we could praise him very much. I remember reading a quote today. Charles Spurgeon said, "I have a great need for Christ, and Christ is great to meet my need. Christ is great to meet our need, or the need of a loved one that is around you. He'll be there for us as he's been faithful throughout history." One of the best passages in the Old Testament for thanks is the Deuteronomy 8 passage. If you ever want to turn there and just put it in the context of what God has done for us. God's people are about to enter into the land of Canaan, and that really represented life with God forever, now and forever. It was almost like a picture of heaven. They were leaving Egypt, which represented sin, life apart from God. So God told them this: when you eat and are satisfied, when you build houses and settle down, watch that your heart doesn't become proud and you forget the Lord your God. For he gave you the ability to produce. Remember, the Lord brought you out of sin and slavery to sin. I substituted sin for Egypt there. And how the Lord encouraged the people to give thanks and to remember the Lord and not forget him. And for Israel, life with God meant this, because they didn't have this in Egypt. Life with God meant crops and land. It meant houses. It meant freedom. They never had that before. And we don't have that without Christ in our soul. We'll get bogged down with something in our sin nature, in the world, from the devil himself. But life with God meant freedom and peace from their enemies. And they knew only God could provide that. And for us, life with Christ means peace with God and the peace of God in real hard times. If you're looking for effective ministry, sometimes, I know, looking back on different Thanksgivings in my life, some Thanksgivings were full of counting blessings. And I could just name one after the other, and it was a tremendous time. Other Thanksgivings were times of really persevering endurance to say, wow, because of different trials or difficulties, it's very hard for me to feel thankful, but I can still give thanks. And in those times when things are real bad, which way they were for Israel, they were for our nation in the 1800s and for the pilgrims and perhaps for your soul, know that God will use you in ministry, even though counting blessings has been maybe more difficult for you than it has been in the past. But those blessings of life with Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the truth of the Bible, it's been spoken of tonight, a forever family that we are learning to connect with. Be patient with yourself if, you know, that's still to happen for you. And the purpose of being a minister and a missionary. Some minister and missionary stories tonight. But the danger is when we see those gifts to say, this is great, look what we have and look what we have done. Or look what we have achieved. And that would be a big mistake to look at it and term it in that way. One theologian of this past century said that ingratitude, or not thanking God for what he has done, is the beginning of all sin. Ingratitude. God gave Adam and Eve, for example, 10,000 trees and said, you know, enjoy what I have provided. But they were interested in the one they did not have. Okay, and they went out and they said, I got to have this to be happy. And so don't measure your life by the blessings you don't have, but rather measure your life by the infinite grace of Christ to you. And sometimes when we're thinking of trials of Israel or a nation or maybe ourselves, we might have a tendency also to measure our life by the blessings we've lost. But remember, even in the midst of loss, you really haven't lost your number one blessing, who is Christ. You haven't lost him. And he promises that he would restore blessings that you have lost, if not in this life, then in eternity, for trillions and trillions of years. So your counting blessings, even in loss, can be a look for the future. Beware of the pride that's the opposite of thankfulness. Matthew Henry said pride would express itself in self-conceit, self-complacency, and self-confidence versus confidence in God. Say, okay, Lord, we can do things through Christ who strengthens us, what Christ wants us to do. And one way to mess up a blessing is to insist the blessing be just for yourself. That would be a prideful thing to do. This is just for me. But a heart hit by grace says thank you. It's always ready to give thanks. I was trying to think in the Bible of it. Was there any time that Jesus rejected thanks from people? Sometimes he rejected worship when he said, well, you're worshiping outwardly, but inside your hearts are far from me. Sometimes he worshiped attempts at righteousness. I will try to be righteous on my own strength. He rejected that. But I couldn't think of any time where God rejected genuine thanks from people. Because a thankful heart is a healthy heart. It's a heart connecting with the grace of God. I was at a church service one time, and a little child, just like some of these ones here, sang, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you for giving to me your great salvation, so rich and free. And it really pepped up the service and really pepped up the whole church for a good 6 months, that little one giving testimony. But to give thanks because of the grace of Christ, all the undeserved favors. Here's a few in Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies you with good things, so your strength is renewed like the eagles. And I remember a Sunday school teacher when I was 18 saying, well, our whole Christian life should be just a thank you to God for what Christ means to us. And a pretty exciting way to live. We thank him in our work, thank him in our worship, thank him in our relationships that are so delicate, but precious. We've got to keep working on them, those kind of things. Our whole life a thank you to God. Overflowing with thankfulness. That's the discipleship passage of Colossians chapter 2. Bonhoeffer said that gratefulness was the highest motivation for Christian ethic. When I want to do right, I do it in thanks to God and out of love for God. In the New Testament, the word for thanks is connected to the word gratis, which is what we do when you get a nice little meal wherever you go, and you want to say, I want to thank this, you know, restaurant and this worker for what they've done. And it's a gratis experience. It means thanks. In fact, the word Eucharist in some traditions of going to worship, Eucharist actually means thanksgiving. I thank God for Christ, what he did for me at the cross. In some places, that's what the Lord's Supper is called. grace, the free sovereign favor of God to the ill-deserving. Wow, Lord, thank you that you always are doing us the favor of passing Christ on to us. And so don't have the danger of thinking we achieve these blessings, but rather give thanks. Second danger, don't mess up the blessing by insisting on getting it for ourselves. It's the selfishness again, but know we're blessed to be a blessing. When the countries will face hard times with the bad economy, some people already know they won't be working next year in the job that they have this year. And so how can we respond as God's people? Well, you're blessed to be a blessing. I don't know what the statistics are, but I'm pretty sure it's accurate that if every family who was doing okay would take care of one family in a little bit of a way that was not doing okay, at least in our country, needs would really be met. That's a simple thing you could do. Just with the heart of Christ and his wisdom passing on what is needed for a soul. We've all been in need. The pilgrims were in need, the nation in need in the Civil War. You and I are in need tonight. But someone's blessed to be a blessing to us, and we could be a blessing to others. I think God has called all of us, I share this a lot on Wednesdays, to be Christian philanthropists. If you ever want to be a philanthropist, that's a big word. There's a commercial out now where they have these children on TV and then they say what they're going to be in the future. One little girl with the pigtails had, you know, hairstylist. And then another little fella, he's going to be a philanthropist. It's a lover of people through the act of giving. Not a bad definition of a Christian. A lover of people through the act of giving. Okay, now I remember this is kind of a silly example, but I remember watching a Popeye cartoon and wanting to do what he was doing in the cartoon, not just beat up Brutus, but he was, it was the cartoon. Some of you would remember it. If you're under 50, you won't. But the cartoon was Popeye found a lamp. I guess Aladdin's lamp. He rubbed the thing and a genie came out. What do you want? Make me a handsome rich prince, I think, or something like that. So Popeye became a handsome rich prince. And he was riding on a camel and riding through town, and he was throwing money to the right and throwing money to the left, and everybody was being blessed. Some of you are shaking your head. That was your favorite episode. But I thought, whoa, as a child, that would be a nice way to live, you know, just to give. And to be a blessing to others. But what has God given you that you could be a Christian philanthropist in reference to? You know the world is in need of forgiveness. Don't know how to forgive. Constantly putting up walls. Constantly weighted down by difficulties and real pain in their lives. But you and I, through the wonderful blood of Christ, sufficient for not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world, we know about forgiveness. I'll have to try to pass that on to others. This treasure of the forgiveness of sins. And nobody else has it but Christians, to be able to pass it on. How about the need for friendship? There's a lot of loneliness and isolation in the world. More loneliness and isolation than blessing of friendships that some of us have shared today. Much more. Who can pass on the priceless treasure of friendship? A Christian who knows what it is to, you know, be a friend who loves at all times. Maybe stick closer than a brother, like Jesus has been to you. You have that treasure. Pass it on. You're the philanthropist. How about truth? People say, would somebody tell me the truth? Can anybody, could my heart trust anyone? And we could say, well, God has given us the truth. You know, his word will set us free. To share that with people, it's a life-changing thing. Even food. In one of the Sunday school classes, they said, if Americans would not eat ice cream, we would actually have enough resources to feed the whole world, just in terms of daily bread. And you know, I was thinking, can't we switch it to broccoli and Brussels sprouts? You know, if we didn't eat those, then can we? can we feed the world? But the idea of being blessed to be a blessing. Be blessed to be a blessing. And how about love? Everybody needs to feel loved. Who is going to pass that on? Who's the equipped philanthropist for that? Wouldn't it be the person, you know, just you and I, who said we've been changed by the love of Christ? It's wide and high and deep and long, and God has poured out this love by His Holy Spirit so we might pass it on to others. And that's a part of being thankful, blessed to be a blessing. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He gives and gives and gives again. And He'll give through your life because you're thankful for Him. Paul said, oh, you'll be made rich in every way so that your generosity could overflow to others. And that's just the generosity of the treasures we have in Christ, and also the practical gifts of our daily bread. So glad for them. And let's pray together and thank God for what He means to us. Jesus, thank You for being the bread of life, and we would want to pass You on in every possible way. And You've made us really to share of Your infinite storehouse. First, we would admit we need of the storehouse ourselves for the poverty of our own soul. But then we would be glad to, as one beggar to another, say, this is the food, and this is the truth, and this is the grace of God. Might we do that in the way we live and even around our quiet, thankful times. Especially, Lord, if we face a trial and just receive from You what we need by the gracious hand of another Christian or directly from Your Holy Spirit. Bless each one with an exceptionally close time with You at this Thanksgiving season. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.